Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. I want to talk to you today about really getting to the heart of one's work. I know this is a week of great heartbreak and a lot of worry and a lot of tension and anxiety for a lot of people. So just see this as an invitation to listen if you feel like taking your mind off things is a good idea for you right now, or otherwise put it to the side for now, because the beauty is that a podcast is a living archive and you can, you know, dip in and out of that as you wish. So for me, on a personal level, this week has been many different things, but in my work it has really challenged me to confront some big anxieties and get to the heart of what I'm really trying to do and where I want to put my energy. There's three specific things that happened that felt really difficult in some ways, and I want to share those with you, and then I also kind of want to tell you more about how I tried to talk myself off that ledge, metaphorically, or how I managed to kind of come to a place on this beautiful, very windy, stormy Thursday evening in my home of feeling pretty peaceful about things and feeling okay about where I'm at and what I want to do next. So here's what happened. Firstly, for the last 3 years, almost 3 years since I had this big accident, really been thinking about my work and what is sustainable. I've been running my business for almost 9 years now, and I'd say that the first 5 to 6 years obviously have been a really wild ride. I feel super lucky for how things have fallen into place, how I kind of really found something that I absolutely love doing, how I managed to connect with the right kind of communities in the first 2 years so that I had steady bookings coming in and just kind of grew my connections and my work from there. In many ways, like, that is the dream, you know? I didn't have to bend over backwards to make things happen. I was in some ways really, like, lucky to be at the right time in the right place online and to be able to share ideas that people could connect with. And then I had this accident at the end of 2020, and I suddenly really needed to stop working the way I was working. I needed to go much slower. I needed to adjust to being in a totally different kind of body and really reduce my working hours and my screen time. And in that questioning in the last 2 years of kind of, like, you know, like, the bigger picture, not just right now in my ability and what's happening in my body, but like, what is this really about? If I have less energy to give to my work, then I want it to really be used in the most effective way towards the goals that feel important and meaningful to me. And I think this year, what I really found was, like, there can still, after all these questions and, like, this experimentation and playfulness and the space I've given myself, you know, to really do different things and see how they feel, there still sometimes is this, like, lingering feeling of anxiety and dissatisfaction. And it's not big, because, like I said, I feel incredibly grateful for the kinds of people I get to work with, for the kind of work that I get to do, for how creative and flexible it is, and how it feels to me like it's making a difference that I appreciate, you know? But still underneath that, I can sometimes feel like, oh, you know, is this quite right? Like, how could it be better? Like, am I missing something? Like, what haven't I tried yet? And what felt funny and weird to admit is that really one issue is that I haven't solved the climate crisis and I haven't established world peace. Now, obviously, these are totally ridiculous things to want to be able to do. I know that, right? I'm not grandiose in that way that I think I could actually be doing those things, or anyone could actually be doing those things. But I think in a sort of jokey way, I admitted that to a friend a few weeks ago and was like, I wonder if, like, some of that anxiety and dissatisfaction has something to do with this really big urgency that we're feeling all the time, where we're witnessing so much suffering and violence and destruction that really doesn't need to be there. And then we're looking at our own work and we're like, well, I haven't solved it yet. You know, like, what am I doing? And so that felt just interesting to sit with. I wonder if that feels true for you as well. If maybe some, if you do feel some dissatisfaction or anxiety around your work sometimes, if maybe some, you know, some relationship to that exists for you, that would be interesting. The other really challenging thing happened to for me this week was that I had my first, or actually second ever really, really big migraine. And I don't actually even really know yet if it was a migraine. Heads up, I'm not looking for medical advice. Thank you so much. But I one day woke up feeling extremely dizzy at 5 a.m. and I tried to go back to sleep, but I couldn't. And by 7 a.m., it was so bad that I really couldn't walk at all. Like I couldn't stand upright. I had such intense vertigo that everything was spinning. I couldn't really see. It felt like my eyes were moving, even though I tried to look at like a specific thing. I was violently vomiting every time I moved or there was any kind of sound. I made a big mess in my flat, a bit of an overshare. And it was really frightening, because it was very painful and kind of, you know, disorienting in a way. And the first 12 hours were really difficult, and I really couldn't do very much other than taking small sips of water, basically. But it also afterwards took me really another few days to recover to a place where I felt like I could look at screens again and I could kind of function, you know, on a basic level at least. And that was frightening because due to my accident, I've already kind of lost my ability to work outside the house, and now looking at screens is kind of like a really essential part of my work. And so, you know, yeah, in amongst this of like not really knowing what it is or where it came from, what triggered it, I just kind of future tripped quite a bit and was like, oh shit, you know, if this happens to me more often, then that would be a problem. I don't feel like that anymore. I do, looking back now, think that I can identify some things that have triggered this that I can avoid. And I also have some appointments next week that I'm really looking forward to. And I think that will really help me to understand what's going on. It's maybe an inner ear problem, and I'm feeling pretty confident that I can find, you know, some way of avoiding this happening again. But nevertheless, it was a scary moment, and it just kind of, I think something like that can sometimes reveal the vulnerability of working for yourself and not necessarily having a team that can pick up for you or, you know, sick pay the way that you would maybe have if you were in employment, for example. And the third thing that happened that kind of initially threw me a little bit is that I moved to Substack and someone reached out to me with quite a harsh email and said that they were deeply disappointed in me for doing that after years of really supporting my work and respecting me. And they said they were really surprised and expected better of me and pointed out that Substack is a platform that has a really questionable free speech policy. And I'll say more to that in a moment, but for now I just wanted to say that yeah, that kind of happened for me and it was sad to receive that email. I was quite surprised myself. I think there was mutual surprise, I would say that. And I've been thinking about that since, and I think I want to say the reason that I moved to Substack, well, there's a few different ones. Firstly, it's free for me to use, and as my income has really reduced as I'm stepping away from some parts of my work this year, that's precious to me. And more importantly, I feel that Substack really has some functionality that I deeply appreciate and how it makes writing and newsletters and community more accessible. I subscribe to quite a few newsletters myself. For me, that's like a really central way in which I connect to other people now that I'm not on social media anymore with my work. And I find it really convenient to kind of bundle those subscriptions that are on Substack in the app so that I'm not constantly getting emails in my inbox, but I can just open the app and I can read kind of what those Substack accounts that I follow have been writing. And the other thing I really appreciate is that it feels more connective because you get to comment on people's work, you can like and reshare posts that you've received. And that's something that I've been really missing after I left Instagram. And I never regretted leaving Instagram, but I think it has left a bit of a hole. I've been talking a lot about that in previous podcast episodes, where I kind of was reflecting how I prepared for leaving social media by really thinking about, you know, what did I get from it that made me spend all this time on that app? And one of those things was really being in conversations with people in a fairly easy way. Now, obviously, it's not actually always easy. It can actually feel really overwhelming as well. But I guess you do get exposed to ideas that are maybe different than those that you'd hear in your friendship circle, for example. And so I really wanted to offer that again. So today, for example, I sent my first Substack and people have commented. There's been a poll. I read my newsletter out loud so people could listen if they didn't want to read it, which I think is really cool because people learn in different ways. Now, I do agree that there is really valid criticism in the free speech policy that a Substack has, but I also feel that that is something that we all can shape and shift together, hopefully. And I also want to be honest and say that I've done quite a bit of research into the policies of other newsletter platforms. I used to be with MailerLite. I really still recommend and appreciate them. I think they're great for a lot of different newsletter purposes. But actually, in some ways, the Substack policy on hate speech, for example, is much more explicit than many other newsletter platforms is. Which is not to say that it's perfect. I really wish there was no platform whatsoever in the world and on the internet for any kind of hate speech. But I also acknowledge in a way that is not the reality that we're living with right now. So I feel like my focus is on using technology in a way that reduces harm and allows us to organize in the best way possible. And for me, you know, going with Substack at this point in time is kind of the best solution in that way, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'm definitely going to think about that some more. I'm also going to think about how I might reach out to Substack and, you know, see just weighing in there, because I think that does matter. And people do listen, especially if people reach out in large numbers around that kind of stuff. And I'm going to do a little bit more research around how that has changed over time, because reading their content policy right now, which has changed last in August this year, it does feel much better than it used to. And I wonder what people's experiences has been with kind of challenging hateful content that has been shared on there. I don't actually know that. I don't know everything, you know, that's the thing as well. I feel like there's a lot of responsibility on us as small business owners to always get it right, because we have a platform and a community, which I'm so deeply grateful for. You know, I'm really grateful people want to receive my newsletters, but I've always been really honest that I don't know everything. You know, I don't know how Substack handles people reporting that something has been hateful. I'm going to try to find out. That's what I can say for now. Anyway, so these three things have happened for me this week. So to recap, this lingering dissatisfaction, anxiety about not being able to solve the climate crisis and establish world peace, this wild migraine attack, and then being criticized for moving to Substack. And so those three things, yeah, were kind of coming together for me to be like, what is at the heart of my work right now? What do I really want to ground myself into? And then here are the things that I've reminded myself of. So if you're in a similar space, maybe kind of confronting rejection, maybe questioning if your contribution is good enough, this will be helpful for you to hear, I hope. Firstly, I was thinking, really, our contribution to the world should always be right-sized, perpetuating this myth of exceptionalism and thinking that we have to make a massive impact on thousands, if not millions of people, is exactly what got us into this trouble, right? It's what kind of bolsters vanity and the chase of followers and this thinking that we're so special and we have to figure everything out, and then we get frozen because that's just unattainable, and then nothing happens. It's just a capitalist myth, and I really think that we have to find that in ourselves, you know, and challenge it in the best way we can. And then we can come to a place where we just each take care of our little corner in the universe. We're not these lonely heroes on some kind of quest to save the world. We're deeply interconnected little birds, and we're flying together in these beautiful murmurations. The second thing I found really important to remember is that we have to listen to our bodies. Like, what happened to me there clearly was my body giving me a bit of a slap or welcome, not a welcome call, a wake-up call, because I had been glued to the news like crazy. I hadn't been eating regularly. I hadn't been sleeping enough. I had just been burning the candle at two ends, if that's the saying, and I needed to really think about my screen time and my habits for a hot minute there. And that's fine, you know, that's fine. I think really listening to our body sometimes is really good resistance in itself, and it often points us to, yeah, question our relationship with technology, with the news, with how we show up in spaces, and that's meaningful and important too. And then finally, I also reminded myself that we just cannot please everyone, and trying to do that is really inhibiting us in doing what we need to do, and that is heartbreaking. I think, yeah, you know, we all do the best we can with the resources and tools that we have available, and sometimes it makes sense to point out to each other that things could be better, and to maybe open, you know, invitations or questions about choices that we've made to see why they've been made. But there's no need to police each other, especially when actually our values and intentions are actually pretty similar. I don't think that's necessary. And I found after sitting with all these things, like, I can say that these three things, I kept it in threes today, if you notice, there's these three things that I feel, if I allow myself to keep it really simple and I break it down, this is what my work is about. Firstly, I'm helping people to create sustainable working conditions for themselves. I'm someone who has had a lot of really shitty jobs, and I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about how our economies work, who gets to benefit from our labor. And something I'm really passionate about is just helping people in really pragmatic and grounded and yet visionary ways to question that and find another way to work that feels good for them, if working is what they want to do indeed. The second thing my work is about is just giving out abundant creative permission by modeling imperfection. That's so simple. I think this has always been like a thread in my work. I've been podcasting for 7 years now. I've written hundreds of newsletters, none of which were perfect, and I think that has meaning in itself. And then thirdly, I like telling stories, and I like making weird art. That's it. It probably never will solve the climate crisis or establish world peace, but I feel like this is the best I can do, and I'm going to continue, you know, challenging myself together with other people to do better and be inspired and listen to our bodies. So thank you so much for coming to my little talk, to that TED Talk. I think I needed those things to be said today, and I love you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.